4 days and the Dow is up again. We're on a roll, it would seem. It's the Business News Hour for Wednesday, the 9th of January. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. Got cheese? Well, we're stockpiling it like crazy. So what are the economics of a government shutdown? We'll share that with you today. The company that makes Marlboro cigarettes wants to shut down production of cigarettes. What? Tom Steyer, is he running for president? He was in Des Moines today, and we talked about corporate responsibility and how all that has changed. Those stories and more, along with the Wall Street Report, and we'll spend some time with Mark Langan from GPS Impact. We'll talk about political messaging, who's listening or watching, and how the distribution of those messages is changing before our very eyes. Some real insight into the business of politics. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AURION.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tero International, your elite training team at TERO.com. RE/MAX Concepts, with offices in Cedar Rapids, Nevada, Ames, and the greater Des Moines Metro. RealEstateConcepts.net. The Business News is next.
Wouldn't it be nice if you could just switch off your HR issues? Then you wouldn't have to deal with payroll, benefits, onboarding, or compliance. Instead, you could focus on growing and improving your business. Well, Arion is that switch. Arion provides attractive and competitive benefits, mitigates employer risks, manages a wide variety of HR transactions, and stays on top of ever-changing employment regulations so you don't have to. Flip the switch and visit AURION to get started.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of AARP Iowa. Real possibilities for people of every age. AARP Iowa. And Country Vet Naturals. Loved by pets, trusted by owners. CountryVetNaturals.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Wednesday edition of the Business News Hour. Thanks so very much for coming by. I'm your host, Michael Libby. You want to reach out to us on Twitter? You can do that. We are at IOB_NewsHour. Me personally, you can find me at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled LIBBIE. Well, the Dow ended up today, the fourth day in a row, and closed on the plus side by 91 points. The NASDAQ also gained, as well as the S&P 500. So what made it so? Well, the December Fed minutes came out, and the direction of the central bank is to lay low on interest rate increases. However, larger gains were pared back after a contentious meeting between the president and Democratic leaders of the House and Senate. Mr. Trump abruptly left the meeting, saying it was, quote, a waste of time, end quote. We'll have more on the markets in the Wall Street Report. Well, according to data from the Department of Agriculture, the United States is sitting on mountains and mountains of cheese. That's right. Even though in 2017, Americans ate nearly 37 pounds of cheese per person, we're going to have to eat a lot more of it if we want to whittle down the 1.4 billion pounds of cheese that is currently sitting in cold storage. That's right, I said 1.4 billion pounds of cheese. According to NPR, the stockpile isn't new. It's just continuing to build due to the rapid pace of milk production exceeding consumption. Since 2008, milk production has increased by more than 13%, but overall consumption has rapidly decreased since the late 1970s, forcing suppliers to turn extra milk into cheese. Why cheese? Because it's less perishable. So if we've got mountains of cheese in storage, how come the price hasn't come down? Well, one answer is that it's in storage, and it's not out in the public domain. And much of the stored cheese is processed American cheese, something that's been getting the cold shoulder for the past several years as consumers gravitate toward specialty cheeses and European cheeses. In fact, while artificial cheeses are out, the overall cheese-making business in the United States is booming. The number of U.S. cheese factories has increased 40% between the year 2000 and 2017, and the growth is being driven by small specialty cheesemakers. See what you learn here? I want you to stay with me on this for a moment because it's really important. We're going to be talking about the partial government shutdown now in its 19th day with really no end in sight. So the question is, what are the economics of the shutdown? Now, one might think it's pretty positive, right? I mean, if government isn't spending money, we're saving it. That would be the logical conclusion. But not so fast, because shutting down the government actually costs more. How can that be? Well, for example, shuttered parks can't collect entrance fees. Furloughed workers will ultimately get paid for not showing up for work. And the government will wind up having to pay interest on missed payments to some contractors. So in reality, how does all that work? Well, as a general rule, when the government spends money on something, it better get something in return, right? I mean, paying somebody to empty trash bins in parks is better than paying them to sit at home while the trash piles up and then paying more later to actually empty the trash. That's what the government is currently doing with hundreds of thousands of workers. They're furloughed, which means they're not allowed to go to work. They're not getting paid for that time, but if history is a guide, once the shutdown ends, the government will award them back pay. For example, back in 2013, there was a government shutdown that lasted 16 days. At that time, President Barack Obama's Office of Management and Budget estimated total compensation costs, that's pay and benefits, for workers that were affected by that shutdown was $2.5 billion. But remember, no work was done. Americans still need to file their income taxes by April 15th, whether or not the government is open, but the Internal Revenue Service has furloughed employees in charge of collecting back taxes. And that, of course, will deprive the government of revenue. The Park Service said it lost about $7 million in revenue in the 2013 shutdown. The Smithsonian, whose museums and other entities are closed, lost about $4 million. Laws called the Prompt Payment Act and the Cash Management Improvement Act require the federal government to pay interest on contracts, grants, and other obligations that it's unable to fund during a shutdown. It's generally accepted among economic forecasters, including Kevin Hassett, that's the chairman of President Trump's Council on Economic Advisers, that the longer shutdowns last, the more they drag on the economy and with it, federal revenues. For example, think of the loss of consumer spending power when 800,000 people are not being paid. That spending powers the economy, and when it's not happening, it also has a negative impact on tax revenue. So the question is, are you still cheering the shutdown? Well, the other day I was at a function with 50 other business professionals. It was a breakfast catered by a well-known company. There were chafing dishes with eggs, potatoes, sausage, bacon. It was quite a spread. However, when it came time to light the burners under the chafing dishes, nobody had a lighter, nobody had a book of matches, nothing to create fire. It's the reality of how powerful the no-smoking world has become. Now, the company that makes Marlboro cigarettes wants to cease cigarette production. Philip Morris International, the tobacco giant behind Marlboro and other leading brands, is hoping to phase out manufacturing of cigarettes entirely and move into smoke-free products. The New York-based multi-billion-dollar company announced that they've chosen to do something really big by moving away from cigarette production and placing emphasis on electronic substitutes. The company is currently focusing on an IQOS. That's a device that heats tobacco rather than burning it. It claims the product can potentially reduce the number of noxious chemicals found in cigarette smoke by 95%, although research is still being conducted. Well, billionaire and activist Tom Steyer was in Des Moines today talking about his five freedoms during several stops. One of the points that he made was that since 1983, corporations have turned their backs on what, until then, were three basic principles of business. And what were those principles? Number one was look out for investors. Number two, look out for employees. And number three, look out for the community at large. Today, he says, corporations have taken a pass on everything other than make more and more money for their investors and the hell with employees and the community. Here's what he said about the changes in corporate responsibility.
Look, if you go and look at the Delaware Chancery Court, you will see a dramatic change in the responsibilities of corporate executives and corporate boards of directors in terms of who they report to and who they can take into account when they're making decisions. It's a dramatic change, and although people didn't spend a lot of time looking at it at the time, here we are 30 years later, and it's had gigantic ramifications. And if you look at how people behave and what they say and the results on American society, they've been profound and profoundly unjust.
And just about 2 hours ago, Mr. Steyer held a press conference where he said he was not going to run for president in 2020. He went on to say, "I'm not running for president at this time. Instead, I'm strengthening my commitment to need to impeach." That organization is focused on the effort to impeach Republican President Donald Trump, who Steyer called reckless, lawless, and dangerous. Steyer has had a presence in Iowa for several months, holding events and hiring staff through his organizations Next Gen America and Need to Impeach. Next Gen, which has an Iowa branch, was focused on climate change from 2014 to 2016 and then shifted to a broader progressive agenda in 2017, making a major push for youth voter turnout in the 2018 election. And by all accounts, it was wildly successful. Speaking of politics, when we come back, we'll be joined by Mark Langan. He's a principal with GPS Impact. Have you ever wanted to know more about how candidates get their messages out to the electorate and how that's changing it? Who pays attention to what? And what's the future when it comes to ramping up for 2020? Mark Langdon, the future of political messaging. It's all coming up next year on the Business News Hour.